Welcome to today's podcast. It's worth considering. Does it seem to you that life is a bit out of control? Well, if you think so, you're not alone. This short podcast is to help all of us consider the teachings of Christ, even in these out of control times. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. My co-host for this discussion is Emily Sinner. We are continuing to discuss deconstruction of the faith. In order to deconstruct, one must first have constructed. Having been raised in a Christian home and in the church has not made this journey easy. Now comes the hard work of reconstructing faith and making it personal with Christ. Hopefully, by the time we're done today,
hopefully
we're going to say very good.
Hopefully.
So you're sitting there with some coffee. I'm sitting here with some coffee. And this is going to be an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. We are going to be talking about something that is really a phenomenon lately, and that is the deconstruction of the Christian faith. And a lot of people are doing it, and that's the title they've been given to it. Unfortunately, the publicity that it's been given has to do with people who are kind of in the limelight, and they say, well, I've deconstructed my faith, and I am no longer believing in Christ. I am spiritual, and I believe God, but I'm leaving the church and remaining religious. That seems to be what the take is upon that. And now, you listened to the two previous podcasts. I spoke with Dan Anderson, mm-hmm. and we discussed that, and he kind of gave the historical background, which is good. And don't get bogged down with that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, that's a little thick, but yes.
It's just to show that this is really anchored in a philosophy that has made its way out into society, in the social realm. And that's really what happens so often. The things intellectually that happen make their way into the university. Usually the researchers eventually say, you know, there's not much substance to this, but it then makes it into the student body, it makes it into the social world, and for some reason, it really gets a hold. And deconstruction is one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about this today, we're going to talk about it in a very non-philosophical perspective. Mm-hmm. It's more like, listen, I was raised in the church, and life came my way after I was out in I had to deconstruct my faith. I had to look at it, take it apart, and say, what's true and what's not true? Did you mm-hmm. find that to be your experience?
Yeah, definitely.
So when did that happen? I mean, like, as soon as you went off to college or what?
No, it took years. I mean, I think, not always, but I think that's a lot of times how God works. Is like we have free will. We get to go our own way. We get to choose what we do. But, I mean, so through college, I was very disenfranchised with the church. I never had the question, and some people do have this question, I never felt the question of does God exist? That was never a question for me personally.
So what was your question then?
My question was, the church just looks so, I believe he exists, but what I'm seeing doesn't make sense to me.
That's a good point. Trying to make sense of God in without all the pieces.
Yes. Yeah. Trying to understand if Christianity is simply a bunch of rules, then like I'm out. Like that's zero fun. Like that is like, why am I I grew up in that. And that's also my perception, growing up, right? Like cause we've had this conversation, you've asked me like, well, what did, you know, more specifically, what did you hear in church that made you, you know, think that it was all about rules? And it's like, I can't even tell you, right?
No,
like,
it's just the kind of the accumulation of everything yes. that's taught, and then the filters by which they go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Correct. And like, you know, you look at Hannah, Andrea, and I, you know, all raised in the same church, raised in the same house, and we have different opinions about what that looks like or what it was. You know, Hannah, Hannah didn't seem to really struggle with the legalism that I felt. Hannah's very much more black and white in her personality. You know, there's, well, why do you do it? Because you do it. Like that, you know, you said that in the last podcast that mom used to say, that used to drive me freaking nuts. Like, you just do it because you just do it? No. Like, no.
You want a reason, don't you?
I want a reason.
And that's really what God wants. He wants us to ask why, you know, not mm-hmm. the why do you exist, but why is it you want us to do this or mm-hmm. not do this?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what, you know, when you're raising kids, you know, and you're busy, you don't necessarily like all the whys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Why? Just do what I say. We got to go someplace. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there comes a time where then as adults, you covet that relationship and you do like to be questioned, not your authority being questioned, but your ideas being questioned mm-hmm. because you want to be able to explain those. And sometimes in the church, that's what comes across. Not that you have questions that we want to answer, but we have information we want to give you.
Mm-hmm.
And you made a really interesting point with, you know, being raised in a family of three girls. It's not uncommon for siblings to view things completely different. So you can have a family of five kids and two of them are going to say, this is the worst family I've ever could have been raised mm-hmm. in. And church was terrible. And others say, I have no idea what you're saying and thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, and that could happen with church. It could happen with vacations,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some vacations. Of the vacations that one would like, or it's okay. Others mm-hmm. are going, this is worse than the dentist.
Yeah.
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 So the church, you grew up, and we did. We took you guys to Sunday morning, Sunday evening, mm-hmm. and Wednesday night. And then sometimes we had choir on Thursday night. So mm-hmm. we were at church quite a bit. And so that didn't go so well for you.
No. I think the largest thing that stuck out to me, it felt like there was no joy in that church. Like, it felt so dead and dry and
serious
all the time. There, like, to the extent of it's like, man, like, does this suck your soul out of your body? Like, I mean, and you know what? That was, looking back, I can also understand now as an adult where some of that perception came from, just in... you know, I think with anything, you can go one side or the other. And
side on the caution of, you know, walking rightly.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like
at the sacrifice of giving up grace.
Yes. Yes. There's grace. And then there's also, you know, his justice and his wrath. And it is so hard to sit in the in between of those. I mean, I even tend to, at times, go to the legalistic side with myself and my thoughts and my shame, and I start to lack to see his grace and his goodness in things when I do that.
Those are hard way. How do you say? Once those thoughts have been embedded, it's the go-to place, right? Mm-hmm. And this is where I would talk about, you know, deconstructing our faith. These mm-hmm. are the tough areas that we have to look at and take them apart and say, is this really true? And we've been grown up to think it is. You know, the passage, train up a child in the way he will go, and when they are old, they will not depart. And so oftentimes we take that and we're comforted by that. But in other ways, it's not good.
Isn't that Proverbs?
What's that?
Isn't that Proverbs?
Yes.
Yeah, and Proverbs isn't a... What is it? Proverbs is, I remember this was helpful when I read Proverbs. It's not a guarantee. Those are not God's promises.
No, they're general rules. So if you train up a child in legalism, when they are old, even though they've left the church, they may not leave legalism behind
mm-hmm.
and the strictness of it. And the same token, if you raise up a child that you, do whatever you want, you know, grace is just extended beyond whatever we can ever imagine and do. So therefore, you live a life according to pleasure and mm-hmm. what you want and not necessarily what God wants. So how you train up a child it's almost like a caution. Mm-hmm. Be careful how you raise your child, because when they are old, they won't depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a tough piece, is trying to raise a child up and so that they have that balance. You know, God's righteousness, and I mentioned this yesterday in my podcast with Dan, I couldn't understand or make sense of God's righteousness until I experienced his grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to have that other aspect to be able to understand the one, because the other is so valuable. In the same way with grace, you can't understand grace unless you understand his justice and his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so the full picture of God is both of these mm-hmm. things, and living in harmony yep. with that, right?
And that's hard. I mean, that's, I think, one of the things that it's very hard to see that lived out. I mean, we just, our human nature is to go to one side of that spectrum. And it, I think a big piece is when you look at his grace, how do I describe this? Like when I looked at the church, I didn't see a lot of grace for humans. You know, I didn't see...
There's always that proverbial but, mm-hmm. right? You know, God loves you, but mm-hmm. you know, it's like trust and obey. There's no other way mm-hmm. to be happy in Jesus. And the emphasis always seemed to be on trust and obey.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? And then you will have the peace like the river.
But I think you have to let his grace sink in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there has to be this period where you let... where you let the fact that you are loved in your messiness sink in before you can obey in a way that he wants you to obey.
Oh, yes. You know, when you raise a child and you realize that their spirit is crushed and they've taken something that you said very seriously, or maybe you were too harsh or whatever... a loving parent wants to come and put your arm around you and say, hold it, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to do this, but no matter what, I love you, mm-hmm. right? And that's the healthy relationship. The other day, I had a youth group, and we spent the whole time playing board games and had dinner, and I didn't take time for the devotions. I came home that night thinking, you know, I really missed the mark there. And I said, God has given me a charge, a responsibility, not just to get the youth together to have fun, but to have a time of devotions. And I missed the mark. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to do that again. I will make sure that I do that. That's the charge. That's the responsibility you've given me. And I felt, you know, the chastisement.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also said, Lord, forgive me. And the part of me wanted to come back and to remember, okay, don't forget this time. And I'm thinking, I won't. But I also need to know, this is done and over with. Mm-hmm. I've asked for forgiveness, and I realize it, and now I'm all good, and I'm going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that the fullness of God. You know, God wants us not to have any false idols, any false images of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have it.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to have it. And so he sets out to have us question the things so that we have a truer better picture of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So, deconstruction of your faith. You know, you grew up in the church, you set out for college, you never questioned the existence of God, but you did question, is this what church is about?
Mm-hmm.
And so tell me about your journey. When did you also start to wrestle with the issues of your faith?
You know, you think that it's interesting because I read one of the Duggar's books, Free Indeed, and she talks about this concept that the world will tell you that you will find happiness when you have full freedom, meaning full reign to do whatever you want. You know, go do whatever you want. You know, just life for your own, you know, pleasure or whatever. So, and I think college is a breeding ground for that. You know, you're out of the house, you can do whatever you want, you can make all your own decisions. And I found myself in a place where I was insanely unhappy, insanely depressed. I was failing in school, which was something that I had always in the past prided myself on and succeeding in. And I felt just so insanely lost. So
you make a good point. And when you talk about the Duggars, and that was a family that's been on television, a large family, and they really followed a very strict type of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And it was much of what Bill Gothard had talked about in his seminars, and that is the line of authority and in the family unit, and they were all homeschooled and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And then she's written this book because she's started to question as well
mm-hmm.
some of these legalistic ways that she was really holding to.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't rebel, okay, mm-hmm. but she found it very stifling.
Mm-hmm.
And now you went off to college and you started living, you know, a life that you can make your own decision. And you came to the same place in the fact that you weren't happy.
Mm-hmm.
She came to the place that Christianity isn't a joyful experience. And she started questioning some of the legalism. You went off to college and had the freedom to start and say, there's no joy here either.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to reconstruct. Yeah. Where is the joy?
Where's the joy? Because if this is life, then I don't want to be here. Like, genuinely, like, if this is what, like, I don't, you know, I'm not finding success in the way of the world. And God humbled me because my pride was always in the fact that I was intelligent and I was failing out of college and I had no direction and I didn't know what I wanted to do in life because I was trying to choose a path in life that was success in the eyes of this world. Yet, if you know me, you know that if I'm not passionate about something, good luck. Like, I'm just not going to do it. And, which has its own, you know, problems. But it was interesting because, so actually the Duggar girl, and I can't remember, I'll have to look up which name this one was. It was actually her husband who had her to start questioning Bill Gothard's teachings. And so he came alongside and he listened to all of Gothard's, you know, principles and whatever. And he essentially questioned it and said, hey, I don't see this in the Bible. I don't see where this aligns in scripture.
There's the authority, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's go back to the scriptures.
Yeah.
God has given us the scriptures so that we can read them and question and ask him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, she got out of the echo chamber in one way.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, somebody who she loved and respected started asking, where is this in the Bible?
Mm-hmm. And so when she was visiting his family, that's also when she noticed that, you know, they didn't dress the way that her family did. They did things different than her family, yet they weren't bad people. And she talks about how from looking from afar, she always just thought, man, like, life isn't going to turn out good for you because you're not following these principles of Bill Gothard and, you know, more of a prosperity gospel, more of that if you... If you do this, then this will be, you know, if I do all these things, my life will go this way. Because they have to promise something when they go away from the scriptures, right? Like
it's a formula.
It's a formula.
Let's live life like a formula.
And life isn't a formula.
No, otherwise there's no need of God, right?
No.
He just give us the recipe, God, and we'll live the life out the way we should, and we'll be happy in doing so.
Yep.
God says, nope, not going to work.
Well, it's like, you know, even before recording this podcast, I was just struggling because I'm like, talk about reconstructing my faith. Like, I'm in a season of grappling with God about why does this occur? Like, why? I don't understand this, you know? And I think... deconstruction, like you said, it comes, I think it's just, our faith isn't a linear path. And I think that so often when we find that faith isn't submitting to our will, that we come to a point where we have to say, okay, but like, what is right? Is this my pride? Is this my envy? Is this my, like...
See, but you're looking for answers, which is kind of interesting. And sometimes in the deconstruction of our faith, God provides us answers in scriptures. And other times, he only gives us enough because we're not in a place to understand it. And he says, have I given you enough to now trust me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the piece that we eventually have to come to is say, yes, Lord, you've given me enough. You've shown me enough that I can trust you even in these very difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
And so deconstruction of your faith isn't something that, well, I did that, check that box off. It's something that there's so many things in our life that God takes one thing at a time and says, I want you to reexamine it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you look at Abraham, right, when he offered up Isaac, the most difficult thing any of us could ever imagine to do, and his words are so baffling. He says, now I know that there is nothing that you would withhold from me. And when I look at that scripture, you can't help but think, God didn't know this before? Why was it necessary for Abraham to go through this time in order to prove his trust in God? And that's one of those things that is so difficult in scripture to really grasp with. I mean, we can wrestle and say, well, God already knew, but he needed Abraham to understand. And maybe that's comforting, but that's not what the scripture seems to imply. It's as though, yes, now there is evidence to show that you do trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And he becomes the father of faith. That's the one person we can look back to and say, he emulates how we are to live,
mm-hmm.
where God wants to bring us, that no matter how absurd or crazy the request might appear, that we can trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the other parts of scripture, it says God never intended, you know, for Abraham to sacrifice, you know, Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that he didn't tell him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the angel stops him and says, here, I provided a ram for you in its place. So difficult. How do you grasp that? There are going to be things in our life, mm-hmm. we just cannot grasp. He gives us enough answers,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't give us all the answers.
No. And there's, you know, I think this is where it's really easy to throw out the baby with the bathwater, right? It's really easy to say, oh, well, I tried that and, you know, it didn't go the way I thought, or, you know, I don't know.
Here's another question for you. So you came back from a year of college and you went to the University of Toledo, and your faith had changed to a degree. When was it, or at what point did you see a change?
So it was deeper into college than that, because I went to Miami of Ohio for a year. I came back. That was humbling, but still continued to just kind of live the way I wanted to live. And it wasn't until, say, probably my fourth year of college.
Oh, your senior year?
Oh, yeah.
So you were a chemistry major, mm-hmm. right?
I changed majors like multiple times, though, because I thought I wanted to be a doctor or a PA, and then I couldn't pull the grades for that, and which was like ding number one. And then I eventually switched to education, but like realized I didn't really like kids that much, so I don't know why I'm doing this. And then
you like kids, you just don't necessarily like to be a teacher.
Well, yeah, and especially at that age. I mean, my perspective is different now, but as you know, as a sophomore or junior in college, no. And I just realized I was really lost. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. My grades were failing. I switched back into chemistry to try to just essentially finish out my degree. But, like, my lack of diligence in studying and my lack of, you know, and really I just genuinely think it was God taking away my identity in being smart, because I leaned a lot on that. And it was the breaking of, like, and I look back and realize this. I don't think I realized this at the time, but I just realized that I couldn't do it on my own anymore.
Ah, boy, I tell you what, that is essential. In order for God to exalt us, to build us up, we first must be humbled with the pride, and we all have it. That's the fallen nature of man. We all have it. We don't know how to get rid of it.
Nope.
But God is faithful to provide us opportunity to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So your story is going to be the same with everyone who comes to know Christ. Mm-hmm. There comes that part where only you can do, God, what you've done to bring me to the place where I call out to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I remember when you changed your major, and there was a shift in who you were when you were thinking about education. You were a caring person. You were thinking more of others than just yourself. And but that wasn't a good fit. You went into chemistry, and I remember having conversations. That was pretty eye-opening, going in studying biochem and seeing the intricacies of how God works in science. Yeah. I mean, that was an important part of your faith, if I remember.
Was. Yeah, I mean, I think that was a time where, if that degree taught me anything, it taught me that there is not, there, you can't add anything to an equation without changing the other end of the equation. Like, it is so intricately involved on such on every single level, between big, between small. I just can't describe it. Like, it, when you looked at, like, physical chem and the way things worked, some of that has actually been what has led me to dig in hormonal issues and stuff like that as I've gotten older, as I know my body's not working the way it's supposed to be. And I'm like, oh, yeah, because of, you know, this makes sense, because what, there is always cause and effect, I guess. And it, to me, seeing it was evidence of God. Like, how do you see this and think this just was created and just is? It is such an intricate balance, and we introduce anything to this that was not originally here, and we're changing the whole equation.
See, that's you. You know, you have always been somebody that just to give an answer to was never good enough. You had to see, you had to reason it through. You're very smart. You were in my class, and I don't say that just because you're my daughter. I remember you not paying attention and still getting good grades. I said, how in the world does this girl do it? But you going and changing your major to chemistry and then taking those tough classes, you saw the macro and the micro, how intricate it was, and the fingerprint of God was all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that was God's spirit taking you in and helping you to see that, where others in that class, professor even, could simply see it as not see God in it all. You did see God in it.
Yeah.
So that journey, God takes you.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what you need. A lifelong journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Abraham was, right? He called him out of Ur of Chaldees and said, listen, I want you to leave your relatives and everything behind. And then all of a sudden he does, and this happens. And and it wasn't until he was old that he saw the promise fulfilled of a son. And then he says, I will even trust you, because he realized that this son that he had, the promised child, had nothing to do with himself. Mm-hmm. And if God gave it to him, he could trust God with it, even if he needed to, as the scriptures say, raise him from the dead, because he knew that God was faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tough journey. Well, thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the third in the series, Deconstruction of the Faith. Deconstruction is not the end of faith, but building of a healthy faith. Emily and I will continue this discussion in the next episode. We hope you continue to tune in and don't drop out as we continue with conversations that make a difference in our lives. Until the next time, go out as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in desperate need of the gospel. God bless.